This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello and welcome to BC This Week, some of the best radio from in and around British Columbia. I'm Lee Rosevear. Well, it was a big event for BC journalists earlier this week. The Jack Webster Awards for Excellence in Journalism were handed out in Vancouver, and the CBC's Betsy Trumpner took home the award for Best Radio Feature for her documentary, The Coffin Carver. It's a story about confession and redemption, and in case you didn't hear it, here is an encore presentation of The Coffin Carver.
Phil Lafreniere drove here in a hurry from Regina over the Rockies to bring his mother's coffin home.
Pretty well drove through a tornado.
He drove through a wild storm of biblical proportions to get the coffin here in time.
Like the North Saskatchewan River, you could see water being sucked out of the river right up into the air. It was an eventful little journey.
An eventful little journey to this grove of trees outside Prince George, where Phil and a large extended family have gathered on a sunny afternoon to honor Margaret Gagnon.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that...
Margaret's granddaughters step forward to unveil her coffin.
We thank you for courage.
It's a beautiful, handmade yellow cedar box with intricately carved frogs from Margaret's First Nations frog clan.
We thank you for our ancestors.
The coffin lid is carved with 20 small frogs' eggs, one for each of her 20 children. 9 daughters and 11 sons, including Phil, who carved this casket himself at his mother's request.
For the first time in my life, I listened to my mother, and I'm trying to honor her request. When I pass away, I don't want a fancy funeral. One of my sons can make me a box. And I was praying that she lives to be 120 years old.
May it safely transport your servant home.
This may sound like a funeral, but Margaret Gagnon is very much alive.
Yes, my mother is here.
Margaret's 92 now, and she hasn't left her bed in years. But this afternoon, an old-fashioned ambulance pulls up, and Margaret rolls out on a stretcher. A grandchild tucks a quilt around Margaret. Others rush to adjust her stretcher so Margaret can see the coffin for herself.
I'm happy. I'm quite proud of it. I just wanted the casket. I think it's great. At least I'm going to lay down in something good then. It's about time.
I think I'm going to join you. It looks comfortable.
I don't want Undertaker to start charging me. I said, I want a homemade casket. I want to lay in it, and I want to be in my home, and from my home to my grave, I said, no Undertaker to touch me.
Margaret's grandsons are admiring it, too.
That's awesome. Lovely.
You know, it may be morbid to some people, but to me, I think it's an honor for her to see something that... She's going to leave this world in, and I think it's a great honor that my Uncle Philip took the time to do something from the pit of his heart and make it very comfortable for her. So, taking her last request, he really put all his heart and soul into it, and he's a very, very talented man.
The coffin, a sign of death, maybe center stage, but this is a celebration of life.
You know, in Scripture it says, honor your father and mother, and today Phil really demonstrated what honoring your mother is all about, and absolutely beautiful.
And while the family looks and admires the coffin and takes pictures,
all the three of you together,
Phil, the coffin carver, stands off to the side by himself.
God knows I haven't listened to her most of my life, so this is an opportunity while she's alive to actually honor my mom with her request. And I recorded her legacy on that box. It's a little more elaborate than she expected, I suppose.
Phil wears a freshly starched shirt and a vest. His long gray mustache is neatly trimmed. But the hands that carved this beautiful coffin speak of a different life. His hands are covered in tattoos, symbols of a life spent far from his mother.
Well, I've spent a big portion of my life in prison, and that's the result of not listening to my mother. Like, she tried to teach us, and we figured we knew everything. And as a result, like, I committed some ugly crimes, and I'd done some big time for the crimes that I committed, and I paid for my crimes, and I would just like to get on with life. And there's horrible memories that are associated with this place.
But now the black sheep of the family has come home again.
That's the best I can do.
Phil kneels down next to his mother, his back against the coffin.
Everybody makes a mistake along the line. And you learn by your mistake. Before you took the wrong path, you try to avoid it next time. Takes a while, but you find your way back.
It's too bad that I was too hard-headed to listen. Long time ago.
The day is drawing to a close. Soon, Margaret's daughter will roll the stretcher back up to the old ambulance and take her mother back home to rest. Phil is itching to get back on the road and leave this place behind. When he goes, he'll leave this coffin he carved for his mother with gentle hands.
All of the hours and everything that were put into it were a payback for all of the grief that I've caused her. She's an amazing woman to have lived through it, and I just ask the Lord to give her a long, happy life, and that casket can sit around for years and years and not be used. And that's the best I can do.
Strengthen her, keep her safe, and let this casket be a reminder of your enduring love.
For CBC Radio, this is Betsy Trumpener outside Prince George, British Columbia.
Congratulations, Betsy. That story won Best Radio Feature at the Jack Webster Awards earlier this week in Vancouver. And congratulations to all the CBC winners and nominees. Now, the Pantages Theatre on Hastings, downtown Vancouver, began as a vaudeville venue. Then known as the City Lights Cinema, it became known for showing films a la Andy Warhol and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But the theatre has long since faded into the background. And now the Heart of the City Festival is bringing the old venue back into the spotlight with a public tour and a walk. And Rick Clough from the early edition went down for a sneak peek.
Hello, my name is Peter Fairchild. I'm the chair of the Pantages Theatre Arts Society. Welcome, Rick Clough, to the Pantages Theatre.
Thanks, Peter. I've been by this many, many times. I'm ashamed to admit, as a Vancouverite, I've probably driven by and never, ever looked at it because it's in that part of the city where you want to go through as opposed to stop and stay and visit mostly. But if it hadn't been for the word theater on the front, I would have gone by it again today. But here we are inside, and I'd love you to show it to us.
Come on in, out of the rain. What we're standing in now is the old lobby. As you can see, it's in a state of serious disrepair. In fact, the whole theater is. The theater's been vacant now for about 15 years, and it's just been allowed to deteriorate to the point where if we don't save it now, it's not savable.
Well, let's go and have a look at the theater itself.
Okay. So the theater used to seat about 650 people.
Wow. But you can see that this was, at one time, one of the great old theaters with the intricate carvings, the colors, the gold.
That real gold gilt, I'm led to believe.
A great old stage, a great old house that's leaking like a sieve now because the roof is full of holes.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons the roof is full of holes is one of our friendly neighbors dropped a parking meter through the roof about a month ago.
You could see how this theater really was one of the fine entertainment attractions in the city of Vancouver.
And that is certainly correct. And in fact, every time we open the theater and residents of the community walk by, they stop. A lot of them have stories. One of them stopped me the other day and said his mother used to perform in this theater about 40 years ago. And everybody really wants to see it open, but they want to see it open with a difference. In many, many situations in the downtown east side, when you renovate and change something, you basically put a big fence around it and wall it off from the community. Our plans for this theater is to make sure it remains very much an essential part of the community and the community has access to it. And it is one of the most magically acoustical theaters in the city. We had a Rosa Chung from the Chinese Cantonese Opera Company standing on the stage singing during one of our tours, and it was absolutely crystal clear right to the back of the hall.
Over the years, Peter, who are some of the great names that have played the Pantages?
Mm-hmm. The theater will be 100 years old in January. It started out as a vaudeville theater. It's part of the Pantages chain of 70-odd theaters across North America. Jack Benny's been here. Charlie Chapman's been here. I think even Babe Ruth made an appearance here at one point in time.
So, Peter, I can only, in my mind's eye, imagine what this would look like with seats, but the seats have all been taken out. This is just the shell of the former theater.
This is just the shell. The whole flooring has been resheathed. As you know, it's been vacant for, I guess, about 15 years now. 15 years ago, it was, I think, a Chinese movie house. I think the boiler blew up at one point, and they just walked away from it because it was too expensive to repair. Prior to that, after it stopped being a vaudeville theater, I think it was a general movie house for a while. The projection booth and everything is still up in the back.
Up here now in the balcony, you can see, though, what a great hall it was.
And you can hear how your voice just echoes throughout the place. Also, on the side walls here, we've uncovered some original art panels. So we're going to try and save and restore them. We have no idea how far these extend, but we think that goes throughout the entire, right up to the ceiling.
And this has been buried under old drywall, and if the walls could talk, huh?
Yeah.
So, Peter, it's all well and good to stand here and say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to spend $50 million and restore the theater to its original glory. But you have to have people willing to perform to come in here.
Well, currently we have commitments from three different organizations who will be resident companies in the theater. City Opera, which is a new light opera company that's just formed about a year and a half ago. Vancouver Cantonese Opera. Now currently performing at the Michael J. Fox Theater in Burnaby. And, of course, their roots are in Chinatown, so they're quite desperate to move back. And Vancouver Moving Theater, they're the ones that put on the Heart of the City Festival every year.
A lot of people, Peter, might look at the address and say, I don't know, downtown East Side. But this would be, I would think, when this is open, one of the keystones of revitalizing this neighborhood, of bringing this whole neighborhood back to life.
I'm a resident of the downtown East Side. I've been here for the last 12 years. The community is not without its problems, I grant you. But it's also a magnificent community to live in. It's open, it's accessible. A lot of the drug trades and stuff, I mean, I recognize. What we're not trying to do with developing this theater is chase the locals away. We want to include them, and we want to include them in a different way than what you see sitting or lying on the street.
I can't wait.
Neither can I.
Thank you so much for the tour this morning.
Thank you, Rick.
The public tour of the Pantages Theater is part of the Heart of the City Festival, and for more information, go to heartofthecityfestival.com. And it's not unusual for us here at CBC Radio to hear from listeners from all over the world, and the most common way for people to hear us is through the internet, either through live streaming or downloading podcasts, just like this one. But the CBC program Daybreak, up in Prince Rupert, has a listener in Norway who heard it using a good old-fashioned radio. His name is Bjarn Melde, and here's what it sounded like when Chris Walker at Daybreak called him up.
011. Bjorn.
Hello, yes, that's me.
Bjorn, this is Chris Walker calling from Daybreak.
Hi, Chris.
How are you today?
How are you?
I'm
fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. You live in the town called, is it Berlevåg?
Yeah, approximately. Berlevåg is the Norwegian pronunciation of it.
Where is Berlevåg?
It's located 71 degrees north, so approximately the same latitude as Barrow, Alaska. In the extreme north of Norway and Europe.
Now, you are what you call a DXer.
Yes.
What is that?
DX is radio amateur abbreviation for a distance. And that's the core of our hobby. We try to listen to distant radio stations all over the world. And I happen to hear CBC 860.
Which is amazing. You heard 860 in Prince Rupert.
Yes.
How did you get in? How did you find this hobby? How did you get involved in this hobby?
I got involved in 1972 as a teenager. I heard a program on Norwegian radio about it, and And I thought I'd try to try it. So I took care of my family's domestic radio and connected a piece of wire to it and tried to do shortwaves.
How many radio stations have you collected?
From Canada, 180 stations, AM stations. I find it rewarding because you need skills, you need training, you need sensitive equipment, radio equipment. You need to develop it in this hobby. So and you learn languages, you learn about people, different parts of the world. So all this makes it a very interesting hobby.
I wonder if you could tell me about the morning that you heard our show, Daybreak, from Prince Rupert.
Well, we tried to monitor as many frequencies or channels as possible. And I knew about 860 because I've been trying to hear Prince Rupert for many, many years. The problem is that there's a CBC station in Newark, which is very much the dominant. But then I heard the CBC Morning News, and I heard an echo. So I knew there were two stations there. When the CBC Morning News ended, I suddenly heard the CBC North announcement. And then I heard underneath your announcement. And I was happy.
Now, you tape what you hear so that you can verify that you did, in fact, hear Daybreak. And I would like to play you now the sample that you sent us. And now, Bjorn, we can verify that you heard Daybreak. Here's what it sounded like in Norway.
You're on CBC North Radio 1. I'm Randy Walker in Prince George. This is Daybreak for October 16th.
We have now verified, Bjorn, that you did hear, in fact, Daybreak, and we thank you very much for listening to our show.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you can learn more about distant radio listening on Bjorn's blog. It's at arcticdx.blogspot.com. That's arcticdx.blogspot.com. And we'll put a link to his site on our website. Our website is at cbc.ca/daybreaknorth.
That's it for another edition of BC This Week. If you have any questions or comments, you can always write to us at bcpodcast@cbc.ca. I'm Lee Rosevere, and thanks again for listening. Hope you download us again next week, and have yourself a safe and happy Halloween.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.